Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources to immediately launch online licensing system. Minister Retno Marsudi said the meeting of President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Foreign Minister Dr. Vivian Balakrishnan does not discuss flight information region. Now, the news in details. Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources will immediately launch an online licensing system for all directorates. Deputy Minister of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Archandra Tahar, pointed out in Jakarta on Wednesday that his side will launch a consistent online system or licensing arrangement at Directorate General of Mineral and Coal, Electricity, Oil and Gas and New Renewable and Energy Conservation are online and the format will be the same. With this online licensing system, contractors and business people in the sector of Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources do not need to come to the Director General, such as the Director General of Oil and Gas. He added that the online licensing system would certainly make it easier for contractors, business entities, companies and businesses that have offices outside Jakarta. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said at a meeting between President Joko Widodo and Minister of Foreign Affairs of Singapore, Dr. Vivian Balakrishnan, did not discuss the process of taking over Flight Information Region FIR in the Riau Island region and Natuna waters. Answering reporters' questions after accompanying President Joko Widodo to receive Minister Dr. Vivian Balakrishnan and his delegation in Bogor Palace, West Java on Wednesday, Minister Retno explained that the FIR discussion had been conducted with Minister Vivian at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs office on Tuesday. Minister Retno also said that in the near future, Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi will meet with his counterpart from Singapore to discuss the discussion of Indonesia's proposal regarding the FIR. Minister of Youth and Sport Imam Nahrawi emphasized on Indonesian athletes to maximize the host momentum to become general champion in the 2018 Asian School Games or ASG Championship in Semarang, Central Java, July 18 to 24. On the sidelines of the inauguration and release of the contingent in Semarang on Wednesday, he said, as the host, Indonesian students athletes have special motivations and want to display the best performance in their own public. He hopes all students athletes can show their best abilities, especially since the beginning has been announced to become the overall champion after the same champion last year only become runner-up. The Asian Schools Games are a commitment of the Indonesian government to encourage the games achievement of young Indonesian athletes through international standards competition so that they have match experience in prestigious competition to improve their achievement in accordance with their potential. Indonesian Palm Oil Business Association GAPKI expounds crude palm oil CPO export of Indonesia increase 18% in May 2019 if it is compared with previous one. Chairman of GAPKI Aceh, Sabri Pasha, escorted by Antaranus agency in Banda Aceh on Wednesday, said that several major exporting countries apply a regulation which has been trade obstacles category entry. Take, for example, India, which has raised tariff customs of palm oil entry maximally. Sabri hopes that Indonesian government can accelerate economic cooperation with India to apply similar import tariff so that Indonesia can compete in enlivening Indian markets. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir during a seminar on revitalizing vocational education in Indonesia, implementation of dual system learning in Jakarta on Wednesday said that lecturers who teach vocational programs should have certified competency. Escorted by Antaranus agency, he said that in vocational education, lecturers should demonstrate their competence. It is not enough for them to hold only a diploma to teach, but they should have a competency that has been certified based on their expertise. Minister Mohammad Nasir also pointed out that his side would send lecturers teaching vocational programs abroad to obtain an international standard competency certificate. Those who have a chance to study abroad should meet the English skills requirement. More than 67,000 Indonesian Hajj pilgrims have arrived in Saudi Arabia to perform a series of Hajj services this year. Data from the Integrated Hajj Information and Computerization System, Cisco Hat monitored Wednesday, showed a total of 67,040 Indonesian Hajj pilgrims and 825 Hajj officers have reached the Holy Land on Tuesday. As reported by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, they departed from 11 embarkation points in Indonesia on 165 flight dispatches. Only two embarkation points have not dispatched Hajj pilgrims to Saudi Arabia until Wednesday. There are the Balikpapan and Aceh embarkation points, which will do so on July 19 and 20, respectively. Most of the Indonesian flights which have landed in Saudi Arabia until Wednesday left the Jakarta-Bekasi embarkation point with 12,561 Hajj pilgrims. Some 9,509 Indonesian Hajj pilgrims and 115 Hajj officers from 23 flight dispatches have been in Mecca, according to the data. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, while welcoming Mayor of Ambon Richard Luhana Pesi at the Foreign Ministry Office in Jakarta on Wednesday, expressed support to hold the Ambon Night Cultural Event in a bid to promote Ambon City to the international community. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Mayor Richard Luhana Pesi said that Minister Retno fully support the implementation of the Ambon Night activities, which, according to the plan, will be held at the Hall of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on July 25, 2019. He has also sought the minister's readiness to open activities. Mayor Richard also stated that during the meeting with Minister Retno Marsudi, discussions covered the Abadi Field LNG project in the Masela block, along with its operational plans and potential impacts. He pointed out that long before the Masela block was in operation, a promotional effort was made to introduce Ambon, both nationally and internationally. He noted that 60 to 70 ambassadors of friendly countries are targeted to attend the activities. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here is commentary titled Visit of Singaporean Foreign Minister. Singaporean Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan visited Indonesia and met with President Joko Widodo at Bogor Palace, West Java on Wednesday. This is the first visit of Singaporean high official after the election. Certainly, the visit of Minister Vivian Balakrishnan had important meaning for Indonesia. However, it was most interesting because Minister Vivian also met former Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and his son Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono. In the meeting, Minister Vivian Balakrishnan besides congratulated Joko Widodo for winning the 2019 presidential election, on behalf of Singaporean government also said that Indonesia is very important for Singapore because there is strong will to strengthen and increase cooperation of the two countries. After the peaceful simultaneous election, according to Singapore, Indonesian geopolitical condition was quite stable, and that was very much appreciated. Moreover, Singapore is one of the biggest investors in Indonesia. Meanwhile, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi, who accompanied President Joko Widodo after the meeting, said from five visions conveyed by the president in Sentul Bogor on Sunday, there are at least three that can be cooperated immediately with Singapore, namely infrastructure, investment, and human resource development. Besides discussing economy and human resources, Minister Retno also said that there was also discussion on preparation of leaders' retreat between President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong to be held this year. The maneuver of Singapore towards Indonesia amidst the currently sensitive global and regional condition must be seen carefully. Singapore seems to take early start on the plan conveyed by President Joko Widodo during his second tenure. However, can we say that Singapore's maneuver is smarter than the Chinese one? Especially it is because China, that had made good relations during the first tenure of Joko Widodo, is currently occupied with trade war against US and tension in Hong Kong. Besides that, the other maneuver should be taken carefully is the meeting with former Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and his son Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono. It seems Singapore still see potential power from the sixth Indonesian president, which also has future vision and mission. Whatever happens now, Indonesia must also be smarter with the visit from Singaporean government. Indonesia must use the chance to open again discussion on mutual legal agreement related to corruption fund and Indonesian corruptors. Well, listener, that's the commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on July 18, 1974, when Public Company of National Housing Development was established. Public Company of National Housing Development is a state-owned enterprise which moves in housing and settlement. The company was established as the government's solution in providing decent housing for middle to lower community. Through the big-scale development concept, the company succeeded to give significant contribution in forming housing area and new cities throughout Indonesia. The next event is that in 1976, Nadia Comaneci obtained perfect record of 10 in the Olympiad in Montreal, Canada. Romanian young gymnast Nadia Comaneci, 14 years old, was the first female athlete from gymnastic branch who obtained perfect record 10 in history of the implementation of gymnastic branch in Montreal Olympiad 1976. This was obtained when she won 3 gold medals in the prestigious event in Montreal Olympiad 1976. The excitement had occurred in the arena of gymnastics because the numeric board was not designed to display a perfect record number of 10. The signpost could only contain point of 9.90. The last event is on Nelson Mandela International Day. July 18th is the birthday of former President of South Africa, Nelson Mandela. To commemorate his birthday, the United Nations declared that July 18th as Nelson Mandela International Day. This has been an appreciation for Mandela since 2009. The decision was the first time for the United Nations in giving respect to someone. To commemorate the day, people throughout the world are expected to do social activities in their environment. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Jalani.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia, titled Ministry of Environment and Forestry Support Eco-Driving in Environment and Forestry Week. Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry performed talk show and eco-driving fun rally on Sunday, July 13. The activity closed the Eco-Driving in Environment and Forestry Week 2019 held at Jakarta Convention Center, Senayan, Jakarta. Director General of Pollution and Damage Control of Environment, Karliansyah, to the press in Jakarta on Monday, July 15, said that the activity was aimed to introduce concept and the advantage of eco-driving as well as giving exercises to increase the ability of environmentally friendly drivers. By knowing how to drive environmentally friendly, it is expected that there is a potential for fuel savings of at least 10% of each eco-driving fun rally participant. The practice of eco-driving takes a combination of toll and non-toll routes that are taken in approximately 60 minutes, followed by measurement of fuel consumption. Eco-driving is proven to reduce fuel consumption by around 10 to 15%, reduce air pollution levels, change driving methods to be more comfortable, and reduce traffic accidents. This program supports efficiency of energy use, especially since the increase in the price of subsidized fuel oil. Karliansyah said, by operating more environmentally friendly vehicles, the damage of component and maintenance costs can be minimized significantly. In the end, every implementation of eco-driving will consistently provide financial benefits to those who implement the driving system. In Indonesia, eco-driving training was started since 2006 by Clean Air Project Swiss Contact in Jakarta, in cooperation with some companies that have commercial vehicle fleet. Some automotive companies have also worked with training institutions that have succeeded in posting significant savings from eco-driving training. Talk show and eco-driving activities in the 2019 Environment and Forestry Week were attended by around 300 participants from automotive and public clubs. Meanwhile, eco-driving fun rally was attended by 48 cars out of 65 participating cars registered on the website. That was My Indonesia.
Bayangan dirimu selalu mengisi hatiku bila selalu mengisi hatiku. Bilakah akan terjadi, kau kan jadi milikku selamanya.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we are going to let you know Sego Buwuhan. On July 4, regional government of Bojonegoro conducted folk party by presenting Tenggul Dance and Sego Buwuhan. Interestingly, the folk event presented a lot of dancers and foods. In the event, as many as 2,050 dancers performed Tenggul Dance at Sosro Dilogo Bridge on Bengawan Solo River, while 26,000 Sego Buwuhan were served for visitors. The Bojonegoro Folk Party was recorded in Indonesian Record Museum, Muri, and Sego Buwuhan has been named as the most dishes category in the Muri. Sego Buwuhan is a typical food of Bojonegoro. Sego Buwuhan consists of two words. In Japanese language, Sego means rice and Buwuhan is taken from the word Buwu, means giving or donating. Buwuhan is often called Buwuhan by Bojonegoro people. Rice is the main ingredient of Sego Buwuhan, which is wrapped with thick leaf. Its side dishes consist of salted young papaya, yellow noodle, tempe momo or typical food of Bojonegoro, tewel or young jackfruit, and sate komo, which is made from beef with red spices. Sego Buwuhan more enjoyable to be served when the rice is still warm. When open the dish, we can directly smell a special aroma of thick leaf and rise the appetite. The sago bubuhan is very delicious. It is appropriate for breakfast or lunch menu. In the past, sago bubuhan was served in special events such as wedding, circumcision, and birth. Previously, sago bubuhan was usually served in celebrations, but now, the food could be enjoyed anytime, since there are many food stalls selling sago bubuhan in Bojonegoro. The price is affordable, only 10,000 rupiah to 15,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Banjar 2019 Festival. Stay tuned on www.voinews.id. On July 15th until 21st, Ministry of Foreign Affairs and West Kalimantan Province are holding Banjar 2019 Festival at National Museum and Car Free Day at Hotel Indonesia Circle in Jakarta. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, A.M. Fakhrir, said that his side always supports because Banjar Festival is a strategic step in performing image and potential of South Kalimantan to the community, including friendly countries, ambassadors, and foreign tourists. In addition to introducing cultural wealth of Indonesia, the government also hopes the efforts bring out economic impact, especially related to tourism sector. Banjar Festival involves 13 regencies and cities in South Kalimantan and carries all potential such as culinary, handicraft, arts, and natural resources. In addition to presenting expo activities, the festival is also assembled with gathering of Banjar people who stay in Jakarta and surrounding area that is routinely held by Kerukunan Bubuhan Banjar of Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi. The festival also holds bazaar. The community of the bazaar presents replica of floating market, which is artwork of interactive installation. The replica, which is held at National Museum, launches 41 Jukung Tambang as special characters of Banjar. All regencies use jukung as their stands, which are filled with special culinary, souvenir, and main products of small, medium enterprises from their regions. Peak of Banjar Festival will be conducted on Car Free Day by carrying the theme floating market in the festival. Fakhrir also said that barter atmosphere of floating market will be felt by Jakartans. Foreign representatives in Jakarta are also invited to Banjar Festival. They will row the jukung at the parade. The parade of the festival will be held on July 21, 2019, with route starting from National Museum on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat to Hotel Indonesia Circle on Jalan MH Tamrin. That was our segment for today, Miss Lenny. Thanks for listening.
Jangan kau bohongi hatimu. Jelas kau ingin aku. Percuma punya wajah yang merdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Izinkan ku isi harimu. pasir mendung kelabu. Percuma punya tampang yang syahdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Oh, tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Buat apa kau buang waktu dalam kisah yang semu. Izinkanlah ku cumbu hatimu dan merangkai cinta. Oh, tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Bukakanlah pintu hatimu dara. Izinkanlah ku ketuk asmara. Kan ku ubah sedihmu jadi bahagia. Apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu penuh bahagia. Tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Tangis air mata. Hari-harimu bahagia. Tunggu apa lagi, kan ku buat harimu bahagia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we present a song to you from one of boy bands that hits in the 1990s in Indonesia, namely Koboi. Koboi boy band was formed in 1991. This group began to be known since releasing their first single titled Katakanlah. The song tells about the story of a man who wants to know restlessness of his beloved girl. The man said that it is no need to worry because he loves the girl sincerely. The name Koboi was taken from the abbreviation of cover boy, since all personnel of the boy band were male models for teen magazines at the time. They are Ali Mustafa, Gilbert Patiruhu, Ferry, and Poncho Buwono. Well, listener, here is the song Katakanlah by Koboi. Happy listening.
Hatimu membuat resah tak menentu. Katakanlah oh kasih, bukalah hatimu, janganlah kau ragu. Mendekatlah padaku,
getaran cinta yang ada di hatiku, semua itu karena dirimu, semua untukmu. Terusnya cinta yang ada di hatiku selama ini hanyalah untukmu. Percayalah kasihku dalam dunia ini, dirimu yang aku cinta, kaulah seluruh hidupku. Sungguh aku sayang kamu, sungguh aku sayang dirimu. Percayalah kasihku dalam dunia ini, dirimu yang aku cinta, kaulah seluruh hidupku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kalau hatimu datanglah padaku,
Voice of Indonesia.
Bila suasana di hatimu membuat resah tak menentu, katakanlah oh kasih, bukalah hatimu, janganlah kau ragu.
Mendekatlah padaku, letakkan tanganmu di dada. Rasakanlah oh kasih, getaran cinta yang ada di hatiku.
Semua itu karena dirimu, semua untukmu, tulusnya cinta yang ada di hatiku. Selama ini hanyalah untukmu. Letakkan tanganmu di dadaku.
Rasakanlah oh kasih, getaran cinta yang ada di hatiku.
Semua itu karena dirimu, semua untukmu, tulusnya cinta yang ada di hatiku. Selama ini hanyalah untukmu.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter. @voiindonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.